Mr. Britton. Would you please give us your kind and thoughtful words?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have handed out a work session, a paragraph on the work session to you, and I have some other handouts in a moment. But I'd like to make some opening remarks about our work sessions with respect to the Department of Human Services. This brief outline that I've handed out is the last piece of something that we handed out to agencies back in September, when we were talking to them about agency presentations. And this particular piece was preceded by an outline of all the things that they were to cover. That part is now pretty well wrapped up, and so we are now into work sessions. We anticipate that we'll be working on the Department of Human Services budget bill over at least the next 2 to 2.5 weeks. Now, it says here that we will review major issues discussed in the budget hearings for this agency or program, including any other legislation approved in the session or pending that will affect this agency's budget. We're to review the governor's budget, including a discussion of the elements leading to the current service level and policy packages, both reductions and enhancements. And since a lot of time has elapsed since we've heard most of these budgets, we'll try and bring you back up to speed a little bit on what these agencies do and the structure of their overall budget. Then some decisions that the subcommittee has to make, and then we'll present our analysis and recommendations on each phase of the budget. We'll begin and seek your approval for a current service level budget, and then we'll go through policy packages and reduction options. And finally, in the early stages of our review, we will ask for any add-backs that you may want to vote on. And I want to stress that early in the game here, for the next several days, we will not be doing everything with respect to these budgets. And you'll see that in a moment when we talk about the Vocational Rehabilitation Division. The governor has submitted to us his reshoot. A reshoot is simply a reordering. It's kind of like a rebalance of the current biennium. But the reshoot takes into consideration caseload changes and the like that have occurred since this budget was put together. And we'll be recommending some things related to reshoot, but there'll also be some things that were included in the reshoot that we'll defer probably until the very end of the DHS budget hearing. So at least for the budget, probably this week, we're going to get some preliminary work finished on them. We'll make some recommendations as to PERS adjustments, things, attorney general charges, and those things that we can get out of the way so that the co-chairs will have more time to structure their final budget. Once that's in place, we'll be able to go forward and finish up our work. Finally, again, I want to make the point that this is not the last time you'll see Voc Rehab, that at the end, Peggy Archer will lead a session where we'll wrap up Senate Bill 5527 and maybe make some add-backs or other possible changes to these budgets. Today, with respect to the Vocational Rehabilitation Division, I will recommend that you approve a current service level. We'll go over that in a moment, and approve two other adjustments that I'm going to recommend. One of them has to do with out-of-state travel. The other has to do with federal funds limitation for one of the Voc Rehab programs. I also will recommend that you approve some other VRD proposed adjustments that conform its ABIS, its automated budget information system numbers, to the actual match rates experienced by the agency. And finally, with your pleasure, Madam Chair, we'll vote on an add-back list for this agency. So I'm going to pause there. Do you have any questions?
Senator Duncan?
Not today on the add-back. That's
Madam Chair and Senator Duncan, we would like to vote on an add-back list.
Today?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, it's not to say that it's all going to get approved by the co-chairs or leadership, but it is to say that in their deliberations, it's helpful for them to know what we're all interested in here as the subcommittee.
Madam Chair, being new to this, when's the appropriate time to ask for a potential budget note?
About 2 or 3 days ago.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
But you can offer.
That's fine.
Get something in because I thought the add-back was going to be later on.
Madam Chair, may I respond to that?
Yes.
To get a budget note into place, the co-chairs have to approve the budget note, for one thing. But the other thing is that, as I said, we're not going to be done with the Vocational Rehabilitation Division today.
So, Representative Bates, you can get the notes to me.
Thank you.
And I will take the process from there.
I will get in earlier next time.
Although this is your colleague over here.
I can handle it, okay?
Okay.
I can handle him, too. I'm just learning as we go along. Thank you, Madam Chair.
With that, Madam Chair, I'm going to go on with the Vocational Rehabilitation Division, and I'll hand these out to you.
Now, make sure you get it in one of these.
Thank you.
Now, the memo that I just handed out to you consists of 3 pages, and the last page is the one we're going to be spending most of the time on this morning, but I want to back up a little bit. We heard the Vocational Rehabilitation Division budget in April, and it was kind of broken up over several weeks, but the program, the agency really has 3 different programs. The first is called Disability Determination Services. They determine eligibility for supplemental security income and also Social Security disability income. They are entirely federally funded. The second program is the Rehabilitation Services program, and the bulk of that program is funded on a 4-to-1 match rate general fund with 1973 Rehabilitation Act Section 110 money. One of the reductions that was made reduced overmatch to that program, but it appears that it went a little bit too far, and the agency is about $183,000 short of matching its all of its capped federal $110. I note here that the governor's recommended budget is about $119.5 million total funds, 420.84 FTE. This is a 4% increase over the 1999-01 estimated expenditures of $114.9 million as adjusted by the rebalance plan that you approved last week. It's a 3% decrease from the current service level estimate of $123.7 million. During VRD's public hearing, the subcommittee discussed a number of major issues. They included the elimination of the Sheltered Services Program. This was a program, $1.6 million general fund, no match. It was eliminated in the governor's budget. We can discuss that if you wish when we talk about the add-back list. As I noted a moment ago, the general fund appropriation is about $183,000 short of matching available Rehabilitation Act Section 110 revenue. We also discussed the types of disabilities Vocational Rehabilitation Division clients have. we looked at their performance measurements, and we discussed the possible impact of the Ticket to Work and Work Incentives Improvement Act. Particularly there, there was some concern that with this new legislation that allowed severely disabled persons to retain medical benefits even while they worked, that the agency might be swamped with requests for vocational assistance. We haven't seen the impact of that act yet, but we did talk about it. Now, the attached spreadsheet summarized the Legislative Fiscal Office's recommended adjustments to the governor's budget. These include technical changes to the governor's budget, various rate and assessment reductions, adjustments for revised program and revenue forecasts on the DHS reshoot plan, and other recommendations. And as I said just a moment ago, we expect these recommendations to be adjusted at the final DHS budget work session for any changes made to the director's office. So, for example, if there were additions or reductions to the director's office, other DHS agencies have to pick up those charges or be reduced, and so we would make a change to the Vocational Rehabilitation Division budget if that occurred. At this time, we are recommending that the subcommittee approve the following. A current service level of $15,113,729 general fund, $2,908,979 other funds, and $105,812,356 federal funds. This current service level reflects adjustment to the public employee retirement system, the Department of Administrative Human Resources Services Division assessments, Attorney General charges, Secretary of State charges, and telecommunication long-distance rate reductions.
Excuse me, Madam Chairman.
Senator Hartsfield.
John, I don't have that on the bottom of my first page. Oh, it's on the back of the second.
Thank you, Joe.
We will also be recommending, along with the co-chair's requirement, a 1% reduction to out-of-state travel. This is $31 of general fund, $69 of other funds, and $1,264 of federal funds. And finally, we'll be recommending a reduction of $2 million of federal funds to remove what may be excess limitation in the Disability Determination Services Program. So with that, I would point you to the last page of that memo.
Question, Madam Chair.
Representative Schrader.
This was the budget that the vacation leave issue came up on, and how that was being treated by DHS in general. Were there adjustments made in the budget for that?
Madam Chair and Representative Schrader, I don't recall that vacation leave discussion. I apologize. So, no, it does not reflect anything related to vacation leave. You
there was
could be right, but I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure this
Well, Madam Chair, I think what you're referring to is
Carlson.
Thank you. I think what you're referring to is the audit that talks about the change of administrator, but that is a one-time event that happens. So I'm not sure how that would fit in.
Madam Chair and Representative Carlson and Schrader, that's right. There was a change of director audit done by the Secretary of State, and the budget, my recommendations don't have any adjustment related to that audit. No.
I guess, Madam Chair, before we move this thing out, which we've got time apparently, I guess I would ask LFO to look at that expanded review of DHS vacation leave payments. You know, it's one thing to give people time off, which I think is well deserved. It's another thing to begin the practice of paying people. I defer to some of my colleagues at the other end of the dais on that, but I'm just concerned that this is a policy that apparently has been adopted that legislature and perhaps even the governor's office didn't know about. That's the issue of allowing employees to easily exchange accrued vacation leave hours for cash, and I thought that was something else I was going to look into.
Okay. Madam Chair and Representative Schrader will do it.
I think Representative Schrader brings a good point. I mean, if you look at the basic philosophy behind vacation, I think
the justification always is, and it's a two-way kind of a thing. The individual benefits, but the agency benefits, because you get a break, you get a chance for renewal and come back. And I sort of hate seeing people not take vacations. There's a point to where my wife might question my statement and say, well, why don't you practice what you preach? But I think there's a purpose of vacation, so that's a good point. Okay.
Mr. Britton, you'll follow up?
Yes.
Because I understand there's some discussion, perhaps in depth, around that policy as well.
Okay. We'll try and find out, Madam Chair, what that discussion was and see if there's any changes coming from that one. Then proceeding with the last page, the spreadsheet, this is a summary of the changes that they're recommending so far. Up at the top of the page, the governor's printed budget of $119,450,984 total funds, 429 positions, 420.84 FTE. Then lines 3 through 13 outline technical changes and also current service level adjustments to this budget. You can see the PERS rate reduction, line 4, Attorney General rate reduction, the DAS Human Resources Services Division assessment, which is a reduction, the Secretary of State Audits Division assessment change, telecommunications long distance rate reductions. And then beginning on line 9, you can see about 4 different reshoot plan adjustments. One is the DHS prorate of mass transit costs. This is non-matchable. It's about $24,000 of general fund. DHS prorate to fund a former SDSD forecast position. This is a position that has been moved out of Senior and Disabled Services Division into the director's office and then funded across all divisions and offices within DHS. Likewise, line 12, DHS prorate to fund a former Office of Medical Assistance Programs forecast position. And finally, the most substantive of these changes add 2 disability determination services analyst positions for fraud unit. We talked about that during the budget hearing. That was mistakenly omitted from the governor's budget. This is 2 positions, you'll note on the right, 2 FTE, federal funds of $253,060.
What is PBI? Criminal
cooperative
disability.
Those are the current service level adjustments that we are recommending. And as I said, the current service level is noted at the bottom of the first page of the LFO memo. I'll pause there if you wish to ask questions or take a vote.
Representative Schrader.
I'd like to move the current service level as explained by LFO for the Vocational Rehabilitation Division, Senate Bill 5527.
Representative Schrader moves the approval of the LFO's recommended current service level as stated by LFO. Is there any discussion? Any objection to approving the current service level? Hearing none.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Proceeding, there are simply 2 other changes to this budget that LFO is recommending. The first, as I noted earlier, is a 1% out-of-state travel reduction, $31 general fund, $69 other funds, $1,264 federal funds, total of $1,364.
To approve the whole policy package rather than itemize.
Okay, we'll continue. The final adjustment is a reduction of disability determination services expenditure limitation of $2 million. When I look at revenue, my belief is that it is somewhat overstated for the next biennium, and had discussions with the agency. I think they believe that their forecast is reasonable. But I would also note that in the rebalance, the agency recommended, and we accepted this recommendation, that their federal funds expenditure limitation be reduced. So my belief is that it's somewhat overstated. I would also note that if it is too low, if you were to approve this, the agency can come back both in a rebalance to ask for more expenditure limitation when the revenue becomes clear. Also, there's the ability of this agency to transfer limitation within its cluster without legislative approval. So in an emergency, if the federal government said, here's some revenue, we want you to spend it quickly, they could do that through the cluster transfer mechanism that they have available.
Representative Bates.
Madam Chair, John has had a couple of quick questions. My memory, and it may be faulty here, was that the one of the difficulties we're running into with termination for SSI and SSDI was that there was sort of some long delays going on, and that actually went to court sometimes, and we had to recover from the settlement our monies, and that complicating this now that in SSDI we are not recovering sometimes because there's been some loopholes on the law that individuals are actually keeping some of the money the state spent in general funds or TANF funds to support these people while they're working through their SSDI. By cutting down the number of people working on this, are we going to make that a worse situation or is it not going to have any real effect?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, I believe you're referring to the relationship of this program, the Disability Determination Services Program, with the General Assistance Program within SDSD's budget, and you're correct. One of the things that was pointed out in terms of the rebalance as far as SDSD's recoveries, SSI recoveries, was that the process was taking longer. And we're not suggesting in this recommendation that we reduce staff, nor are we suggesting that we reduce the agency's ability to spend the revenue that they do receive. What I'm pointing out here is that I believe the revenue forecast for this program unit is a bit high. And so if I'm wrong, which there's every good hope that I am wrong, the agency can come in and ask for additional limitation and a rebalance and be able to spend it.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Did you understand that?
Well, I understood that before I asked the question, but the problem I'm running into is the SSDI program is not one we're necessarily going to recover all the money we put into it when we have a settlement with the federal government on this. That's another concern, and we'll talk about that another time.
Let me get to the other budget. Yeah. Representative Schrader.
Yes, Madam Chair. I'd like to move both policy package, the 1% out of state travel reduction and the reduction of the DDS expenditure limitation as outlined by LFO and Dan in their May 22, 2001 report.
Representative Schrader moves the approval of policy package adjustments, 1% out of state travel reduction and reduction of DDS expenditure limitation as presented by LFO. Are there any discussions, any objections? Senator Yee?
Madam Chair, I have a question regarding policy package adjustments. Is there going to be any restoration on funding for the shelter workshop?
We haven't got there yet.
Program. We're not there.
We're not there yet.
Oh, okay. I thought that's...
No. We're only... That becomes a part of our discussion when we get into ADVAC. But it's not a part of this discussion. We're going through the LFO recommendation to deal with current service level and where we are within budget. And then when we get to the end of that those items, then we will discuss like the shelter, which is on, turn to your page, first page, in the narrative. Okay. We will go back and address that.
Oh, well, I thought we'd come to the end.
No, we haven't come to the end.
Okay.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Madam Chair and members, I have another handout for you, and I'll pass those down this way. What I've handed out to you,
I like your picture.
Is a three-page spreadsheet that looks complicated, but it really isn't. What we're doing here is something that we did with the Commission for the Blind, and that was to conform within the automated budget information system, conform that to the actual match rates that are experienced by the agency. And on the first page is the governor's recommended budget, the allocation of general funds, other funds, federal funds, to personal services and supplies, special payments, and capital outlay for each of the three vocational rehabilitation division programs. And the agency is proposing to make some adjustments to the rehab services program and to the administrative program. Those are listed on the second page. The final page just simply shows what the budgets would look like after they have made these adjustments. And at the bottom of the third page, you can see that although there are changes within each category, the bottom lines both ways for general fund, other funds, federal funds, and personal services and supplies, special pay, and capital outlay do not change. So this, again, is a technical adjustment to conform ABIS to the match rates that the agency is actually experiencing. Well, I'm on page three.
That's the sheet it's handed to you, right,
yeah.
Sir?
This is third page.
Any questions?
No, we're just working on something else here.
Madam Chair, we need a motion to approve these changes that are proposed.
On the ABIS?
Yes, and I would make one note that this is the governor's recommended budget. These are going to change based on the PERS adjustments and so on that we just approved. But I would leave that to the agency and to the Department of Administrative Services to complete. But the point is, the bottom line is that there is no change as far as general fund, other funds, or federal funds for the entire agency.
Representative Schrader.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I guess I'd like to move the technical adjustments presented for the Vocational Rehabilitation Division that conform the general fund, other fund, federal fund, total fund categories to the items presented by LFO.
Representative Schrader moves the technical adjustment to the Voc Rehab Division's budget that includes general fund, other funds, federal funds, and total funds as described by Legislative Fiscal Office. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, so approved.
Madam Chair, I have one more task for you, and that is to discuss and, if you wish, vote on an add-back list. As I noted earlier, there were two main things that stood out in this budget that the subcommittee discussed. One was the general fund, that this agency was short in terms of being able to match all its federal funds. That amount is about $183,000, and I would note for the record that it is in the governor's reshoot of this budget. But as I said at the outset of this work session, we're going to wait on that until we have the final picture from the leadership and the co-chairs as far as the DHS budget. But but this would certainly be fair game for an add back list.
And we might as well start, because the first on the list discussed was elimination of sheltered services program. And I understand that that was at $1.6 million. And in discussion with Mr. Britton, I think there's been some figure changes on that, that instead of $1.6 million, I think it's $1.1 million.
That's right, Madam Chair. And the agency is here to be able to answer questions about other alternatives as far as phasing that program out of time, or, you know, the different amounts that could be the result of various program options. The $1.1 million figure comes about from the question that I asked the agency, and that was, how much would it cost to restore the program, to keep it going? And as I understand it, the difference between the 1.6 and the 1.1 is the result of people leaving the program. That's part of it, but also others who are eligible for the developmentally disabled vocational programs or vocational programs for persons with mental illness, that some of the people in this program would qualify for those other programs. That still leaves a number of folks who would not qualify for either one.
And that amount that wouldn't qualify for either one is estimated at about $1.1 million.
That's my understanding, but again, Mr. Simpson is here to clarify.
Mr. Simpson, could you come up and clarify that for us?
Yes, Chair Winters, members of the committee, Bobby Simpson, administering the Vocational Rehabilitation Division, for the record. In response to a request from Mr. Britton, we took a look at what it would take to, in essence, buy back the sheltered services program for the upcoming biennium. What we have done is taken a very detailed and serious look at those individuals that we feel quite certain that we have identified alternative options for within the sheltered services program in terms of people currently participating. Some 32 individuals who we know will be able to be covered under the developmental disabilities program, particularly through the Staley settlement, and we would be able to remove these individuals from the program. And a couple of individuals we know who are retiring, reached an age and they're able to retire out of the sheltered services program. And a couple of others that we feel confident will be able to be hired on as regular employees in the facilities within which they work. So based on the request from Mr. Britton, we provided information and did some cost analysis that indicated that we've identified about 131 individuals out of that total of about 168 plus that had been participating, for which we have no identified option or alternative at this moment in time in terms of the nature of severity of the disabilities involved, the long-term and chronic challenges around employment opportunities. That cost to restore the program for the biennium for 131 clients is some $1,056,000. $1,056,384. Now, we did also provide information to Mr. Britton regarding the timing on a portion of this, because with the developmentally disabled clientele that we have identified who can be covered through the expanded developmental disabilities program, it appears that some of the money that's going to be available for that particular program is not likely to come to fruition until October. So we also provided an additional figure for continuing those 32 clients who have developmental disabilities that could be covered under the DD, Developmental Disabilities Case Management System. We looked at a figure for maintaining those individuals in the program for an additional 3 months in order to reach that time frame around October 1, when the remaining dollars would be available for the developmental disabilities program. That would add another $32,256 for that 3 months time frame, coming to a grand total of $88,640.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Duncan.
Bobby, I have a question. Do you, in your listing of people that you currently have, is there a wait list right now that's not been considered in this whole thing?
Madam Chair, Senator Duncan, it's my understanding that there is not a wait list for this program per se. I guess, on the one hand, you could always look at the program and identify people who might potentially participate in the program, but frankly, we've been encouraging other options and other possibilities for people to look at in terms of employment opportunities, especially over these last number of months. So we've been actually ratcheting down the program and reducing the number of individuals participating in it. So I would defer to Cecile as to whether or not there is an actual waiting list.
Madam Chair, Senator Duncan, for the record.
Sorry, I should say.
I'm Cecile Bentley, Assistant Administrator for Vocational Rehabilitation. Mr. Simpson's correct. We do not maintain a formal wait list for this program. And as he said, there are individuals who may be able to benefit from this program on a future basis, but we don't maintain a formal wait list.
Our goal has been to continue to find other options and alternatives for individuals in this program, and although it is important to look at other possibilities, considering the diverse range of services that are available in the community compared to when the Shelter Services Program was initially put in place.
Senator Shields.
You gave us a price tag of $1,088,000. Does that calculate the return on that investment, i.e. taxes that are paid by these people when they're working, decreased demands for services because they can take care of themselves, the adjusted cost?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, no, this particular figure does not reflect the overall cost benefit per se of individuals becoming more independent, productive, tax-paying members of society. That's certainly a fringe benefit that we need to always keep in mind when we're talking about people with severe disabilities participating in the workforce. They become healthier to begin with and use less medical coverage. Certainly they're generating income and paying some taxes. But that, you know, that is their money in their pocket, and although some money comes back, obviously, in terms of that sort of thing, but it's not figured into the overall cost.
Thank you. I want to stick to the agenda. We're in work session, and if we're going to get through these, I want to stick to those items that relate to the work session today, and recognizing that there is tax advantages that they are contributing to the society, and we appreciate that. You want to go on, Mr. Britton, because our next item, and we can take these one by one on the add back issues, if that's the pleasure of the group, and that's probably the best way to do them. The first issue is the whether or not that one of our priority add backs is to restore the sheltered services program at $1,088,400.
A comment. I guess if the other one's pretty straightforward. I guess I would probably put the $183,000 shortfall ahead of the shelter service program, just thinking of leverage and bang for the buck.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
the committee. If we have to prioritize.
Madam Chair?
Representative Bates.
I'm concerned where these people end up if we don't restore the program. You mentioned incarceration and group homes. The cost to the state could actually be higher if we don't do this. And I'm concerned that in fact would occur. What is your feeling on that, Mr. Simpson?
Madam Chair, Representative Bates, although we're working as hard as we can to find options continually, day by day, for the individuals in the program, there are persons for whom we know of no option and alternative, and you always increase the likelihood you no longer have a work site to go to during the day, that residential placement could be, you know, an eventual factor in general deterioration and additional cost to society. That's always a possibility.
Madam Chair, I'd move that the Children's Services Program were restored at $1.88 million to the recommendation by this committee.
Is that my favorite?
Yes, I wrote it down.
Yeah, the right there.
Eight.
I thought it was 1.088.
Yeah.
Zero point 088, if I could think of it. It's in the shape.
Close.
You know, this is the mathematician here.
I should have said just committed it.
The representative base is moving the priority of shelter service before the 183,000 general fund appropriation. Yeah, he's saying that we should address that one first. Oh, well, I have a question for Ricky.
Yeah.
Now, the 183,000 can have a match rate of 1 to 9.
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, it's about a 1 to 4.
1 to 4. So we actually can generate more federal funding if we restore the 183,000 general fund. I would recommend
it. I don't understand that. No, it's what you just mentioned.
It's okay. Only 183,000. And then do.
It'll be a lot of 183,000 before we get done.
Before we get done with this. I think that the idea is that we have a list that we present to the co-chairs that they know what our thoughts are and where we want to go. So, you know, I don't think that there's any division, if you will, that these two items are two items that we really want.
Both
are top priorities for us. Mm-hmm. And so, and maybe it would be wise if we just present that that we would like to assure that these are the two that we're very, very, very concerned about. And then the others can rank under that. How is that?
Another question.
So the shelter service program cannot be funded by federal funds. Is that correct? That's correct.
It's only
general funds.
Mm-hmm.
You're correct. Mm-hmm. Representative Bates.
Madam Chair, just to clarify, I wasn't suggesting that one is a higher priority than the other. They're both high priorities, and they need to probably move in both of them.
And I think that the point that Representative Bates, which is an accurate point, that there's real concern that some of the population that we're talking about, without some of the services and without, you know, are ending up into our jail services and other places that
homeless that
we're not desiring that they be there. So, Representative Carlson,
just to clarify, by adding this additional $1+ million general fund, we still have to add the $183,000 to leverage federal dollars.
Correct.
These do not leverage any federal dollars. Is that correct?
The shelter service program is general fund funded only, and then the other one is the leverage 183, which was a short match. So
1 to 4.
1 to 4.
Okay.
So is it the pleasure that we just conclude them both together?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none. I did get a motion from you, didn't I?
Yeah.
I have another question that I'm here for, Mr. Fritton. So if we find $183,000 general fund and have it match 1 to 4 and bring back $750,000, where will we spend the money? Does it have to be in vocational?
Madam Chair and Senator Yee, the money, first of all, at our last budget session, which Ms. Archer will probably lead, we may need to add additional federal limitation if we get the $183,000 back into this budget. Most likely, it would be placed in the rehab services program within the vocational rehabilitation division. Now, that's not to say that it's the only place, frankly, that it could be spent, but that's the most natural place for it to be spent.
Follow-up question. So we can spend it in a federally funded program and free up general funds to fund the shelter care service?
No, Madam Chair and Senator Yee. It really is for vocational rehabilitation services.
You can put it in vocational rehab program and free up general fund to shelter services.
Well, Madam Chair and Senator Yee, I'm trying to think what program we put it in to replace general fund, and I don't know of any that we could do that with, but I could certainly ask the department. But it's most natural place, because that's where most of it is being spent already, is in the vocational rehabilitation division.
Madam Chair, I would like to request that the department look into programs that's funded by general fund. So in case we can have 183,000 general fund to bring 750,000 federal funds to see if we can free up some money for the shelter care. Is this something you can look into and let us know in case there's some money available? I think 183,000 shouldn't be that difficult to find, I think.
You haven't seen all the budgets yet, but anyway.
Madam Chair, the 183,000, as I noted, is in the governor's resheet of this budget.
Oh, uh-huh.
So that's an easy one.
Mm-hmm. So will you do some research?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, we will certainly do some research.
Thank you. That's it? Are there any other issues relating to voc rehab budget? Hearing none, thank you. And I am closing the work session on Senate Bill 5527, Department of Human Services, Voc Rehab Division. And I am opening the work session on Senate Bill 5527, Department of Human Services, Services to Children and Families.
Change of documentation.
Let him go so bad. I know I'm not keeping up there.
Well, let's see. He's got away now.
Now that I simply have the documentation changed, I will start with my memo of May 22nd. It's on top of the packet. It's a paper clip that you received. As we go through this budget, we'll proceed similarly to how you just did with Vocational Rehabilitation Division. I've summarized the governor's recommended budget there for you and the major programs and budget issues that were discussed. As an additional refresher, if you want to go to page 35 of the agency's presentation book, there's a summary of the current service level adjustments that were made for this budget, and then the adjustments to get to the governor's recommended budget. So that reiterates the system of care, flexible funding cuts, the delay to April 2002 on the system of care phase in statewide, the forecast changes. We had discussed in subcommittee the threat of harm, foster care cases where abuse has not yet actually occurred, but there's imminent risk of that. The subcommittee had discussed cost of living adjustments are not in the budget for most program and contract providers. Page 35 in the presentation document summarizes these at a really high level. There was a reduction in the flexible funding for family support teams, which are teams in I believe 13 counties in the state that go in and help families with their issues, primarily alcohol and drug issues. Contract treatment and family support was reduced. Non-statewide programs such as Friends of the Children, Grants Path Coalition, the Father Calf Program in Marion County were eliminated in this budget. And then, not noted on that page, but a reduction in the agency's budget nonetheless is that they are eliminating 29 non-case carrying positions to streamline their management structure and have some budget savings. So I have attached several spreadsheets. I will work from the first one, which is a summary of the recommended adjustments. There is another packet of spreadsheets behind that, which shows all the gory numerical detail reflecting these recommended adjustments. So as you can see on this spreadsheet, I've tried to separate these into current service level adjustments and then adjustments to policy packages and then other reduction options. Again, at this point, these are preliminary adjustments that are reflecting technical changes or changes in other budgets that have an impact on this budget, things that are in the department's reshoot, and other reductions related to the rebalance plan and the co-chair's direction. So I'll walk through those really quickly and until you have questions, and then I'll stop to explain them in more detail. The technical rate assessment reductions, starting at the top of the spreadsheet, there's a reduction in the FERS rate, the Attorney General rate reduction as a result of changes that the legislature has made to the Department of Justice budget for Attorney General costs. The Human Resources Services Division assessment is reduced. The Audits Division assessment is reduced. And there was a late change during budget preparation and long-distance communication rates. That was not built into this budget initially, and they've gone back and repriced that, so there is some savings there. So those are all adjustments to the agency's current service level. Then the next set of recommended adjustments include items in the reshoot plan, a change in the Medicaid match rate based on recent information from the federal government, an updated estimate on Title 20 Social Services block grant funds. If you remember, Title 20 Social Services block grant funds are used almost interchangeably in this budget with general fund. They're very flexible federal funds that we receive. They're used for child welfare services. A lot of it goes to the system of care. When the budget was put together, they used the latest forecast of those Title 20 funds at the federal level. That number has since dropped, and so there is a change here. It's similar in concept to the Medicaid match rate change, although it's not a match rate, it's a block grant. Then there are some technical adjustments that are covered in the department's reshoot in terms of changes to reflect what happened in the November rebalance for positions going to the director's office. Then the next item is a $2.8 million item. It's large, but it is still a technical adjustment in the sense that this was an error in the governor's budget, was inadvertently not funded in the governor's budget. It's covered in the department's reshoot overall, and so we are adding 2.8 general fund back in to reflect the reduction in social services block grant monies. This is connected with the transfer of money to the State Commission on Children and Families. The State Commission on Children and Families gets a little over $10 million from the State Office for Services to Children and Families of social services block grant money, which is used in programs in the Commission on Children and Families. And so every time the social services block grant amount goes down, there needs to be an adjustment in one or the other budget to reflect that. And so in all those transfers and adjustments, this was inadvertently left out. So we're plugging that back in. The alternative would be to take some additional program cuts in this agency, and that was not an issue that, that needed to be done at this point. Then the next line reflects a correction to the FTE. When the budget was built, the FTE number was incorrect, and so we add 19.68 FTE there. Then on the additional co-chairs and the LFO recommended reductions, there's a $429,505 reduction. The 9901 rebalance that you just approved for the agency included adjustments in adoption assistance caseloads, which were up, and a reduction in the target child caseload and costs, which are down. And so what this does is to carry forward those changes into the 0103 biennium. The agency's reshoot budget didn't initially do that, but when we went back and looked at it, it was determined that it was reasonable to carry forward those programmatic changes into 0103 for a small, relatively small savings in this budget. And it's considered to be a current service level adjustment because it's a caseload change, not an enforced program reduction. The next set of items affect policy packages, and we have one additional reduction option at the co-chair's direction. The first, technical rate and assessment reductions, because in the governor's budget the reduction packages included PERS funding for positions that were being eliminated, we have to go back in and adjust the PERS funding and add it back in, otherwise they would be taking out too much money in those packages. So we have adjusted that. It's a positive number here, but overall, if you look at what the current service level adjustment was for the PERS rate and the addition in the policy packages for the PERS rate, it is a net reduction in the agency's budget. It just looks a little odd here as an add-back. The reshoot plan included a reflection of what happened in the agency's rebalance plan. If you remember, in this budget, there was an assumption that the agency would be able to replace $15 million of general fund with $15 million in federal targeted case management money from claiming eligible services for eligible children for in-home services. When they went back and looked at that projection, it looked like they would only be able to get about half of that $15 million. And so in the rebalance plan, where they had some social services block grant money available, they carried that forward into the 0103 biennium to replace the now projected shortfall of targeted case management money. So they're using one source of federal funds that they're carrying forward from 9901 to replace federal funds that they now are projecting they will not get in 0103. So what you see on this line item is just a net effect of a small reduction, $524 in general fund. But what is behind it is the carry forward of about $7.2 million from 0103 in federal money into the 0103 biennium to make up for what they now project to be a shortfall in other federal revenues. But it basically keeps the budget whole by having done that mechanism. And that carry forward was approved as part of the 9901 rebalance.
Chair.
Senator Duncan.
I'm just curious. Maybe I've missed it here. As you look to the future with roll-up costs and so forth, is there an impact with that?
Yes, Madam Chair, Senator Duncan. There could well be an impact if carry forward funds are not available in 0305 and they're not able to generate a higher level of targeted case management revenues. They may be looking for general fund backfill for this in 0305.
So we need to keep that in mind.
Good question.
Now then,
The next line adjusts the governor's budget reductions for cost of living adjustments in the current service level. All programs had a cost of living adjustment built in. The governor's budget took that out for most programs. In all the number crunching, the contracted treatment and support adjustment wasn't made, and so this comes in and picks up the CPI reduction for those program services. So it's an additional reduction to the governor's budget, even though it's the same issue as the governor's budget puts forward. And then the next line item reflects that in the health division, the governor's budget takes out the child fatality review team funding. This agency had received funds from the health division that they used to generate match. If the child fatality review team is out of the health division and is not restored, then this agency does not need the other and federal funds limitation related to that program. So this takes it out. If at some point in the add back deliberations that program gets added back in, then we would adjust this limitation to put it back in. But at this point, to reflect where the governor's budget is and the co-chair's budget at this point, we would take those limitations out.
Senator Yee.
Sheila, what is the general fund money for the child fatality review team?
I will have to look at that number unless Doug knows it.
Madam Chair, for the record, Doug Wilson, Administrator of the Office of Finance and Policy Analysis. The general fund figure is approximately $700,000 for the child fatality teams.
So it has, Madam Chair, follow-up.
Follow-up.
So it has a matching fund of $130,000 federal.
Madam Chair, Senator, the $195,000, I believe, reflects of the amount that the Health Division has in general fund. Part of that comes to SCF, and that $195,000 is what comes, or part of that, I believe, $65,000 comes to SCF. They use that to match $130,000 roughly in federal funds, and then send that money back to the Health Division.
So it's a
1-2 half. Yeah. It's about a 60-40 match.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then the last item there reflects the direction to take a 1% out-of-state travel reduction in all agencies' budgets, and that would be an additional policy package that would be added to this agency's budget. It's a small amount of money for this particular agency. I would also note, although it's not on the spreadsheet, that the division's reshoot request asked to carry forward some new classifications for internal auditors for two positions. These are a change in classification that was done in the November e-board, and so it's not reflected in their budget, but would be reflected in the budget as the legislatively adopted budget is executed and the position are put into the PIC system. There's no dollar impact associated with that, but it is an issue that the division would like to get concurrence on. So those are the records.
They need the concurrence today, or?
I believe, unless you would say we don't want to do that, we would consider it to be part of their overall reshoot plan that we would recommend approval for. So those are the recommended adjustments for this agency at this time. I would note, going back to my cover memo, that there is legislation pending that would affect the agency. It would transfer the Child Abuse Multidisciplinary Intervention Program, the CAMI account, which is used for funding child abuse assessment centers and for multiple disciplinary teams dealing with child abuse issues. There's a proposal that would transfer the funding and that program from this agency to the Department of Justice. However, it appears that if that happens, the fiscal impact of that transfer will be dealt with in House Bill 5010, which is the allocation bill for the criminal fines and assessment account revenues, which is how the CAMI program is funded. So we don't believe that a budget adjustment to Senate Bill 5527 will be needed. But I did want to note that so that you were aware of it.
Representative Partridge.
I'm sure I do the LFO recommendation.
Representative Partridge moves LFO's recommendation of current service level budget as adjusted of $256,337,160 general fund, $33,023,924 other funds, and $329,290,560 federal funds, 2,023 positions, and with 1,864.13 FTE. Everybody follows me on that line? Any discussion? Objection? Hearing none? Approved.
Madam Chair, I move the policy package for program reductions as adjusted, totaling -$26,891,935 general fund, -$506,932 other funds, and $10,529,278 federal funds. We've reduced 29 positions and 29.5 FTE.
Representative Partridge moves policy packages reduction as adjusted, totaling -$26,891,935 general fund, -$500,932 other fund, $10,529,278 federal funds, deduct 29 positions, and 29.5 FTE. There are no policy package for program enhancements governed by, recommended by LFO. Is there any objections or any discussion to the policy package recommendation? Hearing none, approved.
Madam Chair, I move that the preliminary recommended budget, including both motions that we just previously made that would result in, correct me if I'm wrong, $229,445,225 in general fund, $32,516,992 in other funds, and $339,819,838 in federal funds, with a total of 1,994 positions and 1,834.63 FTE.
Representative Partridge moves the preliminary recommended budget as stated. So I'm going to walk. Are there any discussions? Any objections? Approved.
The next item of business would be budget notes. In the memo, you have one budget note noted, and we received this morning a request for an additional budget note, so I've attached that following the memo. The first budget note relates to SCF need for legal representation in court proceedings, and for the need to look at that and come up with some alternatives to make that work better. And the agency, I'm sure, can address that. But this budget note asks them to work with the Juvenile Court Improvement Project to look at some options and then report to the emergency board if there's improvements that they can do within available resources during the interim.
Ramona.
Chair Winters and members of the committee, for the record, I'm Ramona Foley, administrator for the State Office for Services to Children and Families. We appreciate the budget note, and we'll take this very seriously in this interim to try to determine whether or not we can, within resources that we currently have allowed, provide legal representation for our staff as they go into court on cases, most often children in foster care, but often also child protective service cases. As you know from our testimony before Ways and Means, we don't currently have the resources available to have legal representation each time our caseworkers go to court. This has presented a problem for us. It has significant fiscal resource implications, And so we appreciate this recommendation, this budget note, and we'll work during this interim with the Juvenile Court Improvement Project to see what kinds of options or alternatives we can come up with.
I might add a note for the committee that I've been in discussion with Ramona and others on this issue, recognizing that cases, particularly with the Safe Adoption Act, and looking at the amount of time that staff needs to be in court, and the cases are not as straightforward as in years ago, that there is a need for the agency to have a lot more legal experience than they did before, and may be able to provide a process where you're not having so many of the workers that are having to spend so much time in the courts while they're waiting for cases to be heard. And so we've discussed of looking at ways that we can become more efficient at the same time, provide the legal linkages that needs from the agency as well as to the court. So I'm pleased that the agency agrees that this is something that they will explore and pursue.
Thank you. So, Ramona, if the improvement can be made within available resources, why do you need to report to the emergency board about improvement?
Chair Winters and Senator Yee, because right at this point, we don't know what those opportunities would be. If it is within resources, it might be regarding us doing our business in a different way. There could be some policy package implications, and that's why we don't have a problem with coming back and reporting that during the interim. It is a growing need. The number of cases that we have in order to be served well, the children themselves benefit when we do have legal counsel available. And we do have legal counsel depending on what part of the state it's in. We've had two pilot projects, you may know, in Linn and Deschutes counties, and those have gone very well. And we don't have the money to continue those pilots, but they have demonstrated that we can have consistency in legal representation, and it does benefit the life of that case in terms of making decisions quicker in each of our cases.
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, the other reason would be that even so they may be able to make improvements within available resources this biennium, there may be implications for the next 403-05 that we would want to make sure that somebody signed off on. Mm-hmm.
Madam Chair, maybe the substantive committees too when they make the report.
Yes. Any further discussion on the budget notes? Thank you, Ramona.
Madam Chair, the second budget note deals with the Oregon Youth Authority and FCF and just ask them to continue their shared leadership role on the Sheltered Services Partnership work group. This is a work group that has been talking about what to do with teens and older children that need shelter care, ones that don't necessarily hit the OIA system or that there aren't very many resources available within SCF, and so there's been ongoing discussions about how do you provide services or how do you make things happen for those children. And so this budget note would just direct them to continue that effort and then to report on that prior to the beginning of the next legislative session.
Discussion. Any objection? Well, we're just rolling along today, Mike. This is a very agreeable group this morning. Mm-hmm. It must have been that roast pig last night.
Yeah. It was good.
It was good.
Yeah, it was very good.
Okay. Moving on then, we get to the potential add-back list items. And again, I'd refer you to page 35 of the agency's presentation that gives a summary of a very high-level summary of the reductions that were achieved in this governor's budget. The system of care reduction and the delayed phase-in of the remainder of the counties is a significant issue in this. The governor's revised budget would include $2.1 million that would bring some of the counties, or one of the counties, online earlier and add back a small amount of flexible funding in the system of care. So in terms of an add back list amount, you can go anywhere from 0 to 9.8 million.
How much did the governor?
The governor's revised includes 2.1 million. That's 1.5 million to bring Marion County online earlier and about 600,000 to restore some of the flexible funding.
What was the second number?
600,000.
Further clarification, Madam Chair?
Representative Schrader.
There were two issues within SCF, as I recollect, at least as differentiated in the budget presentation. One was the system of care, and then there was the flex funds. And you've indicated that 1.5 of the system of care is put back and 0.6 of the flex funds, or is that all flex funds?
It would be $1.5 million for the system of care implementation in Marion County, which includes services for the system of care cases. It includes some additional staffing for those cases. So that $1.5 million would be directed to Marion County in the governor's revised budget. And then the $600,000 would be to help address some of the flexible funding reductions. Now, in the governor's budget initially, the flexible funding cut was about $7.2 million from where the agency originally projected their current service level to be. So the $600,000 doesn't buy back a lot of that flexible funding cut, but it does buy back some of that.
Follow up. I thought that was, the system of care I thought was 9.8 and the flex funds was 2.5.
There isn't a just, okay, there is a 9.8 million reduction that includes the flexible funding reduction and the delay. And my understanding is that 7.2 of the 9.8 is from the flexible funding cut. So the balance of that would be from delaying the remaining counties. Now, what the governor's revised budget would add back would just be the one largest county that still doesn't have system of care.
Representative Crawford.
Sheila, what are the other, which other counties besides Marion County are in the delay, do you recall?
Perhaps we can get the agency to address that. I believe there's 8 or 10 of them that don't have it now.
My presentation documents upstairs.
Well, some of the documents are upstairs, so.
So phase four would include Marion, which is the largest in terms of population, Curry, Josephine, Gilliam, Morrow, Wheeler, Grant, Crook, and Harney.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Doug.
The reason for the Marion County is they were also the control county for the waiver program, and that's sort of, they have two strikes against them in a sense, and that's the reason we wanted to move that county.
Yeah. And I heard from them loud and clear. They were very vociferous.
Madam Chair, can I have one follow-up?
Yes, Representative Carlson.
So if 9.8 is the grand total and 7.2 is the flex, that leaves 2.6. And then you take out 1.5 for Marion. Does that mean all the rest of the counties can get system of care earlier for 1.1 million?
Yes, Marion County is about half or a little bit more of the total cost because of the large population there.
So, Madam Chair, if we were to recommend 9.8 million, that would cover for all counties increasing and the total flex fund. Just to restate it.
That would restore, I believe, to a July 1 startup, or not July 1 at this point, but as close to July 1 as they could do, I'm sure, early in the biennium for all the counties, and restore the flex funds to the level that was anticipated before. Now, you saw in the rebalance that some of the counties in Phase 3 had some problems or some delay in spending all the money that had been allocated, so it would bring them back up to the previous level. That was considered to be a one-time reduction, but this would continue it at the higher level for the full biennium for all counties.
Sure.
Reverend Schrader.
Yes, I'd like to recommend that the subcommittee put the rest of the system of care, or at least some of the system of care dollars, on our priority ad act list.
I would agree with you.
To the extent that it's possible.
Is there anyone who disagrees that we put dollars into the systems of care issues? I think that was one that resonated during all our discussions. That was a big need for this agency, and I don't think any one of us would have disagreed. It's tied to the agreement of the Juvenile Rights Project, which gives us some real concern, is when you don't have those dollars available. I think we heard testimony that talked about the positive results that was occurring as a result of having the flex funds. What happens? So, if there's no disagreement, Senator Hartung.
Yeah, a question. I'm not really comfortable with, or at least my knowledge of the system of care on page 88, of course, is the key elements. But tell me just very briefly, what's the genesis of system of care? How long have we done it, and is it working?
Ramona.
Chair Winters and Senator Hartung, we started system of care in the mid-90s, I think around 1995. System of care was the result of the Juvenile Rights Project, where there was some pending litigation against the State Office of Services to Children and Families. And we reached an agreement as opposed to tying up the amount of time and dollars it would take to go into court and litigate. And it is designed to improve the quality of care of children who become known to the child welfare system. I believe we are beginning to see some results. It takes a long time, to have a reform effort actually take hold. But from the counties who are actually working with system of care, they are very pleased with the quality of some of the decisions being made on cases. As you heard from public testimony, many foster parents came in and talked about the quality of care that many of our children demand because of special needs, and this is accommodated by system of care. And today we will also leave with you the status of children in Oregon's child protection system, our 2000 report, which you may have seen in the newspaper for the first time. We have a reduction in victims of abuse and neglect in Oregon for the year 2000, and that's the first time since 1994. So we are, as we said to the media, cautiously optimistic that some things that Oregon has been working on for several years are actually beginning to take hold now. Safety nets, for example, is another example of front-end services to our families. So I think what you heard from the testimony is that while we are going to continue working this next 2 years to even tie the system of care dollars closer to our performance outcomes, I think you would be hard-pressed to find anyone who says system of care has not been very much to the advantage of children known to the child welfare system.
Follow-up, Madam Chair?
Follow-up.
Tell me what kind of oversight you have, or what your evaluation process is. You've had 5 years, 4 years now. There should be some real evidence or accountability on how it's working.
The evaluation is contracted with Portland State University, so we do have an objective evaluation that produces quarterly reports. That feedback goes into how we improve our training for our staff and also how we improve our policies. We have an individual, Beth Vaughan, who is the designated system of care person on our staff who works closely with the Juvenile Rights Project. And we are consistently evaluating and making sure that what we're learning from the projects and what counties are experiencing in the use of these dollars is fed back into improvements for the entire system, not just case-by-case improvements.
Final follow-up.
Follow-up.
What I've heard you say sounds very good. Will any of that be changed with reorg, or is this separate from and moving along?
It can be impacted by reorganization, as anything can be. On the other hand, though, service integration is part of strengthening families, and strengthening families is the philosophy behind system of care. So to the extent that we can make this a positive reflection in system of care, our agreement with the Juvenile Rights Project does not go away simply because of reorganization. So we will still be staying true to the requirements of the Juvenile Rights Project and our agreement with them.
Thank you.
Senator Shields.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I have any role in this committee, it's somewhat bring some history to it in terms of sitting on this committee for the last five sessions. And one of the problems that I always had with system of care was that it is an approach where you define what it is by what it does. Okay? I mean, if you look at page 86, the definition of it, it balances safety and attachment, it promotes family decision. It doesn't say what it is. Describing it by its very essence is to describe it in terms of what it does. Okay? And so when I heard Senator Hartung and Senator Duncan both express some questions about it, I think that's where it comes from, because that's historically always been the way it is. And so sometime might be a great experiment to define it in terms of what it is, not what it does. I know that's difficult, but I just want to make that suggestion. And in that regard, my question is, down at bullet 4, you talk about flexible dollars on page 86. You say the expenditure of flexible dollars enhances the caseworker's ability to meet the child's needs in non-traditional ways. Will the limitation of these flexible dollars affect the overall ability of the system of care to do what we want it to do? Because we heard some compelling testimony about the fact that you actually save money by having some money available in flexible dollars to meet some critical needs.
Chair Winters and Senator Shields, I think it would appear that the loss of flexible dollars could impact the individual creativity of a worker to use those dollars if they're limited dollars. On the other hand, we have learned more and more, I think, each year about some of the creativity being balanced with accountability. We know some of the things that work, some of the things that are more successful. For example, family decision meetings have been rated as very successful in getting families involved early on and shortening the time the child needs to be in foster care. So I think it's incumbent upon us in the face of any budget cuts to make use of what the things are that we really do know. We really do have some evidence about. Make sure that workers are using those kinds of methods as they impact families versus those methods that haven't been shown to be quite as fruitful in terms of the outcomes of the results.
Madam Chair. Representative Carlson.
I had the opportunity to attend the statewide foster parent conference down in Eugene several weeks ago and heard loud and clear from the foster parents how critical these dollars are to them in the efforts that they make for children. And I know from my short experience being a foster parent myself, the necessity of having some flexible dollars so that you can do things that make sense rather than doing things just because the funding stream from the federal government says you can use it for these purposes and not any others. So it's just an essential piece of a system for kids.
If you would turn to 90A, it gives you some ranking order of how the expenditure categories of systems of care in your book. And it ranges everything from therapeutic support.
98.